Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into In the Garage. Big Jim O'Brien sitting here with Alexander Rossi on the phone. Hey, buddy, how are you, man?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Congratulations on everything. I just had to tell you, my wife said we are. It was funny because we're avid Amazing Race fans, and I'm sure you get this all the time. But before we talk about the race yesterday, great job on the Amazing Race. That was really cool, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks. It was definitely a wild experience on a lot of different levels, but I'm pretty grateful for the opportunity and glad we didn't embarrass ourselves too much.
Are you kidding me? You did a great job. You know, they were just filming here in Detroit. I think the finale for next season is going to be here in the Motor City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Right on. I didn't even know that they had started that. It's amazing how quickly they're able to. I mean, a huge like credit to CBS. I mean, that witnessing firsthand what kind of operation that is, it's pretty insane. So it's amazing what you can do with a little bit of ingenuity and money, I guess.
Was there things that people realized, maybe your friends or folks that didn't realize about you until they watched the show? I mean, obviously we know your competitive nature, you're a professional race car driver, but was there maybe a little bit more of your personality that came out that people liked?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. I mean, I don't think anyone expected me to sing or dance, but you know, kind of when you're put in that position, you got to do it.
Well, you did a great job, and a great job yesterday too. It was watching at Mid-Ohio, Alex, when you were, they were talking, obviously you were busy because you were racing, but watching the race, they were talking about how smooth you were on the track, and it looked that way. But every time they show an in-car camera, you are wrenching the hell out of that wheel. I mean, you make it look easy. Is it the car that's twitchy or just a road course? Because it looked like you really got to work that car.
I mean, that's just an Indy car, honestly. It's when you compare it to other forms of racing, you know, NASCAR, F1, they both have power steering. So we don't have that. So every single kind of movement that the car has, whether it's the front or the rear of the car, you're having to correct quite a lot of kickback that comes from that. You don't have any assistance from basically a little hydraulic motor that's making your life easier. So it's definitely, that's why, you know, we talk about IndyCar being so physical and being the challenge that it is. It's just an element of, you know, what makes the Verizon IndyCar Series unique.
And then when you're driving as well, with the no power steering, like you said, fatigue can obviously be a factor in hotter conditions on road courses. But I would think the mental part of it, too. You've got to hit your marks every single time. And it seems to me that, like, with from the front to the back of the field, it's so competitive and the drivers are so good front to back that the margin has become less and less as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, if we go back to, you know, Detroit, you know, the second race we had there, I was leading the race with about five laps to go, and I locked a left front tire and it exploded. And when we looked at that and kind of the replays in hindsight, it was the difference of about 3.5 feet, my break point. So you're operating in a very small window. So you're right. I mean, the mental acuity that you have to have, kind of every corner, every lap is pretty high. And it was amazing yesterday, really, that there was no yellow flags. Like, the whole reason really why we decided to do the strategy that we ended up doing and only doing two stops, because we assumed there was going to be a lot of yellows, which was going to make it pretty easy to get a fuel mileage number. But at the end of the day, it went green the whole way, which is just a testament to the depth and the quality of the field.
Do you, that's what I was going to make your next question. Alexander Rossi, join us, number 27 Honda, Andretti Motor, Autosports. Do you, during the conversation, obviously you map out a two-stop strategy. Are you looking around during the race, or not you so much, but you guys, when did you realize nobody else was doing that?
Well, we didn't even realize we were going to do it, you know, prior to the race. We knew we had a plan A and a plan B. And, we didn't know until the first couple of laps went by that I was going to actually be able to hit a mileage number and still have pretty good lap time. So
really
the reason for that is because all of Friday and Saturday you spend focusing on qualifying. And up until this year, we always got a warm up Sunday morning before the race, a 30-minute kind of like final warm up practice session where you would be able to go out and practice kind of fuel saving and test the engine mixtures and see kind of what mileage number you could hit. But without that this year, it's a lot more of a guessing game. So we kind of went into it with our options opened, and the team gave me 3 laps to see if I could figure it out and hit the number. And since we were able to, we just committed to the two stopper from that point.
Yeah, towards the end of the race too, I was telling you working, maybe it was like 13 laps left. You could see a lot of in car where you were when you're working towards the center of the wheel. Is that fuel that you're dialing back as well, or what are you sort of adjusting as you're going?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's really the main thing from an engine standpoint on the wheel that you're adjusting. I mean, you can adjust brake bias and the front and rear anti-roll bars, but yeah, I'm sure what you were seeing was playing with the mixtures, because what you can do is you can have different mixtures for different parts of the lap depending on if it's a straightaway or if it's a bunch of corners and what power you need to kind of maintain a lap time.
Do you still hear, they always hear the story, you know, like when you're way out in front like you were yesterday and you're just trying to get to the finish, you can hear everything in the car even more amplified. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, your mind is like saying, please, nothing go wrong. You know, we've gotten this far. Just let us, you know, bring it home. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand people saying that. But for me, it's just about, you don't want to back off. Because I've gotten into trouble in past years of racing where, you know, you've got a comfortable lead, whether it's for first or you're just in a comfortable third or fourth, and you back the pace off just to bring the car home, and you actually make a mistake because you fall out of that kind of mental attack focus zone that you're in. And that can actually cause you more trouble than just pushing 100% all the way to the line.
That's always the classic thing about Ayrton Senna in Monaco, right? Once they told him, you know, to ease up a little bit, and he stuck it right in the wall.
Exactly. Can't do it. You just got to keep going the whole way through.
So I can actually, we had Alexander Rossi with us. One of the things I was curious about was I was thinking about watching all 3 races yesterday, and I was had a wonderful day of racing, and you had an amazing day in Mid-Ohio. So when I between F1, NASCAR, and IndyCar, when I watch F1, obviously you know this better than most in any series, the team orders and things like that. When I'm watching yesterday, even at the start of the race, Kimi Raikkonen's goal is to get between the two Mercedes, and that, you know, you undercut and overcut people. And I'm watching NASCAR, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, they still work as teams more and more, but it feels like to me, and I mean this in a positive way, IndyCar is really about you as an individual driver. You're the one who's 46 points behind Scott Dixon. You're the one who's going to get a shot at him. Team orders really don't come into play during the season, and at least as a fan, that's how it feels, and I like it.
Oh, you're 100% right. I mean, for sure there would be a scenario if you got to, like, Sonoma and there was a teammate in front of me and I needed that position in order to win a championship, right?
But right.
That's a very unique and low odds type of situation. But up until it gets to that point, no, it's really every man for himself. And that's kind of what IndyCar is about. I mean, it's pure racing. It's what we all fell in love with. It's what I fell in love with as a kid, and there's no politics that really go into it. So your teammates, obviously you want to give a little bit of extra room to when you're racing them.
Right.
That's the last person you want to, you know, have contact with. But in terms of like being free to race and go attack your teammate and go fight for the win, there's no holding back. So that's pretty cool. But then on the other side of it, you know, being a part of Andretti Autosport and having 4 cars, you know, throughout the weekend, it's really a group effort. So, you know, all 4 of us spend a lot of time kind of debriefing and working together and coming up with, you know, ideas and solutions for making the car better. And so I would say it's a big team effort all the way through Saturday afternoon. And
yep.
If all 4 cars can qualify in the top 6, it's like a victory for all of us.
Well,
but then come Sunday race day, it's game on.
That qualifying lap. Were you just you hung that? You really had one shot, right? I mean, you hung that thing out there. That was pretty damn compelling TV to watch, and I can imagine being behind the wheel. You're just like, screw it, I'm going for this.
Yeah, we knew our car was good for lap 1 on the red, the softer Firestone tire, and so yeah, I mean, I was comfortable to do it in one lap. So we just fueled it for one lap, which means you get a bit of weight savings from not carrying extra fuel in the car. And when you do it for one lap as well, you can really wait till the end of the session and wait for your perfect gap on track. So you don't have to worry about being around any other cars. And then it's really just down to me to go out and try and get it done.
You did. You did. Other than you did everything right yesterday, Alex, except the donut. That was it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So, like, when I knew we had won, obviously, and I knew I had fuel to do it, because oddly enough, this is one of the first races I've actually had fuel to do a donut. And the engine was coming out, so I wasn't worried about it. I was like, well, where am I going to do it? But I'm not going to say no to the opportunity. And there was, like, this one access road kind of halfway down the back straight. I was like, well, I guess that'll work. And then as it was spinning, like, I was going to be in the grass, and I was fine with that. I didn't realize there was, like, a 6-inch drop in the grass. So that was a little bit awkward, and it's a good thing that IndyCar doesn't award points based on, like, style. Because that would have hurt. But fortunately, I'm not in the X Games, and it's all good.
It's all good, man. A win's a win is a win. Did you by any chance see what happened with Bubba Wallace at Pocono yesterday?
I did see the replay, yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation like that?
No, not at all, fortunately. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, and I can't imagine. We did a thing on the air just, you know, Alex, about a week and a half ago where we're talking about, I had the brakes go out in my truck. I've got an F-150 and an old Ford truck, and one day just went to the floor. Just the line broke. Nothing you could do. And I kept thinking to myself, all right, where am I going to stop? How am I going to get off the freeway? You know, just use the gears and slow the car down naturally. But I'm thinking at that speed, he had everyone saying, well, it wasn't that bad. I'm like, I can't imagine you're doing, what, $160, $170 down that front stretch, probably faster, and put your foot to the floor and there's nothing there. That's got to be just one of those moments where you're like, all right, this is going to hurt.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I think he did a pretty good job of doing everything he could to pull speed out of it. And it's a huge testament to, like, the safer barrier, right?
I mean, right. Absolutely.
He broke the concrete behind the safer barrier. So imagine if that was concrete. So obviously it's a huge testament to the advances that the tracks have made as well as the cars in terms of safety. But yeah, that's a pretty heart in your butt moment for sure. I wouldn't wish that upon anyone.
I still don't get, by the way, just with, we were talking about points earlier. The one thing I don't understand is why didn't Kyle Busch let Suarez go by him, because they're teammates and you need a win to get into the chase?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's
Kyle doesn't do favors, though. Like, I mean, of all the guys to ask that of, I wouldn't expect him to be the one.
Yeah, I want to hear that conversation over the radio. I don't think that would be much of a conversation, would it?
No, absolutely not. It would just be a no or a laugh.
Nope. That would be a laugh, like, not going to do this one. So the last thing, Alexander, we appreciate Alexander Rossi, the time today, number 27 Honda man. Car looks fantastic, by the way. I love the paint scheme this year. The way it's trimmed out and stuff, it looks awesome.
Yeah, it's a beautiful race car. Big thanks to Napa, obviously, for renewing with us and expanding their partnership, and hopefully it's a sign of good things to come.
Bourdais still has the loudest car on the track, though, as far as paint scheme. That's awesome.
Yeah, and he put it to good use yesterday. He had a hell of a drive.
Did you go back and look at the race afterwards? Did you see all the crap that was going on behind you? They were getting after it while you were out in front.
I didn't, but you know, I saw the finishing order, and when he was like sixth after starting 24th, I knew he must have had a pretty big day. So, yeah. I mean, I usually watch the race, you know, in the week after once it's re-released. But yeah, no, last night I just kind of did media and went to sleep.
Good man. So you and by the way, I appreciate Robert Wickens and everything he's doing, but if you're starting off the race, I don't care if you throw it in third gear and turn on a blinker. You're leading the race. You start the race the way you want to. That's all I'm saying about that, Alex.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I was like, when he grouched about that, I'm like, really? Relax, dude. You can't. How about this? Get the pole. Then you can do whatever the hell you want when you're up front. But
this is true.
Right. I mean, you were, I would assume that you had a better gearing, so you knew how you wanted to start the race.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. So we were pitted around all the Penske cars all weekend. And, we could see, based on just how they were leaving pit lane, that they had a pretty long first gear in, and that was an optional 6-speed strategy that we were doing that you could do. And so once we keyed in on that, we were like working on a first gear, because you don't really use first gear around the track, at least with the gearbox that we were running at Andretti.
Right.
So we were like, well, we might as well have a ultimate start gear. And so, yeah, that was our plan, was to kind of use their first gear against them. And Ryan knew what I was going to do, and so did Marco and Zach. And unfortunately, it didn't really help Ryan. But, yeah, it was a pretty cool team tactic that we came up with. And
it worked. Yeah, absolutely, man. Alexander Rossi gets arrested. We'll see you back the 19th. Is that right, out of Pocono?
Yes, sir. We'll be there.
All right. Gonna go fast, man.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Keep doing what you're doing. Thanks, Alex. I want to say thank you to Alexander Rossi for the time there, and I want to talk a little bit about cars. I spent a week with two sides of a coin. I don't know if you'd call it the same coin, but it's interesting to me. I was thinking about this. The first car was the Mazda 6, the Signature Edition, an absolutely beautiful sedan. The second one, the Lexus NX 300H, the CUV hybrid from Lexus. Beautiful compact utility vehicle. So why am I comparing these two? Some people say, like, you know, why would you compare a sedan to an SUV or a CUV? Here's where I get into this whole thing where I think it's two sides of the same coin. As a consumer, I think more and more people are either buying one or the other. Used to be you bought sedans and you went down that road, but SUVs really weren't an option. They were, but not like they are now, and compact utility vehicles and everything else. So I think more and more we as consumers are looking at this going, I'm either going to buy that or this. I'll start off telling you about the Mazda 6, one of the best sedans I've ever driven. I mean, it's an absolutely beautiful car to drive. It is stunning. The looks, I put a picture up as well at WCSX.com. You want to take a look at it. It is fantastic. And it drives like a sedan. And I mean that in the best way possible. Seats four people incredibly comfortably. You can put four people in there. And the trunk is huge. We went ahead and did one of those big grocery shops for a couple $100. No problem. Still had a ton of room in there. The way it drives, the responsiveness to it, if it had a performance feel to it. It's a very, very subtle ride. My wife kept using the word smooth when we were riding around. This car is smooth. And it is. It's an absolutely smooth car. And you look at under 35 grand. It's an amazing price point for an absolutely beautiful car. And the red that they have on Mazda. So the Mazda 6, damn, it's just an amazing sedan. So what do you say about the Lexus? You're driving an NX 300H and you're looking around and it's just a cool looking car. I know some people argue about the grill, but when you get inside it and again, four people comfortably, all the tech you, by the way, in both vehicles, all the tech you'd want, adaptive cruise control, lane departure technology, blindside help. I mean, all that stuff, the technical suite is fantastic. The sound system in both is great. The Bose and the Mazda, the sound system they've got for Lexus is great, but you're driving an SUV. Even a smaller one like a CUV. And it's a different feel. It's a different mindset when you're in it. Here's what's crazy to me. When I'm driving down the road, like I took a dirt road to work today with the Lexus. I didn't even think about it. I just, little CUV, utility vehicle, off we go. I avoided that same dirt road with the Mazda. It's not a knock on the Mazda. I didn't want to get it dirty. I wasn't sure how my sedan was going to handle on these bumpy dirt roads that we have to cut through here in Michigan. And then we talk about the ride height itself. If you ride in a Mazda 6, it is so smooth, but you're low to the ground. That's the sedan, right? But then when you're driving in an SUV, even a CUV, you feel higher up. I'm not going to say you feel safer because that's not fair, but you feel safer. You do. You feel safer. You feel taller, stronger in the car. It's really weird. Again, after driving a sedan and then a CUV over a 1 week period. The last thing I would say is the trunk space. In our mind, we always think we can do more with a CUV. I had a bigger trunk in the Mazda than I did in the Lexus. Doesn't mean I can't put stuff in there. It's just you can put more in the Mazda. But here's what's different. They're both amazing cars. If you're looking for a sedan, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a better one for the money, or just in general, than a Mazda 6. And then the Lexus NX 300 for right around in the mid-40s, it's a great CUV. You're paying for a Lexus, and that's okay. You know what you're getting. It is a quality ride. But the problem is, in the old days, you'd always hear the story about, well, when the gas prices go up, everybody buys a small car. When the gas prices go down, everybody buys a big car. Big cars, SUVs, things like that. People don't really seem to care much about gas prices as they used to, and there's a gas efficient SUV out there for everybody. These CUVs have really changed the playing field. There's the old story in the auto industry about the guy, his boss comes to him and says, man, these transmission parts are way too expensive. I know they're the best quality, but we're getting killed on cost. He goes, well, I got somebody not as good, but you can use them if you want. And they go, do it. So the guy switches vendors, gets one that's not as good, but the company saves money. He gets an award. 2 years later, they come back to the same guy and said, you know, these parts you got us on, they're good, but they're not as good as the old guy, and we're having some quality issues right now. He goes, well, I can go back to the old guy. It's going to cost more money. Well, we should do that. So they go back to the old person and who has better parts, and the guy gets another award. And he keeps going back and forth for 30 years. And there's a lot of people in the auto industry that have lived that way. Not anymore. I don't think that we're going to see a time where we really gravitate back to sedans in the $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 range. Now, high-end cars, absolutely. Entry-level vehicles, absolutely. But the middle price sedans, I'm hard-pressed to see where that market's going to be. And it sucks because the Mazda 6 is a great car. I'd still buy an SUV or a CUV and spend more for it every time. Just my opinion. Again, a couple great cars there. My name is Jim O'Brien. I host the morning show here, Big Jim's House at WCSX 94.7 FM in Detroit. You can listen to us online. You can also follow the In the Garage podcast, automotive reviews, videos as well. And again, thanks to our guest, Alexander Rossi. Big winner out there with IndyCar. So much going on. I'm glad Bubba Wallace is doing better. You take care of yourself. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, too. You can follow me on Twitter at WCSX Jim.